From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today On Deadline is taking a deep exhale as the Federal Reserve Bank gets ready to cut key interest rates for the first time since it began the historic climb to where those rates currently sit. This Tuesday, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump went head-to-head in a presidential debate with under 2 months to go until the 2024 election. They covered a lot of ground, from their views on fracking and the border to wild conspiracy theories spread by Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance, about immigrants eating pets. Of course, both candidates also talked about the economy. However, Americans don't want to wait until November to know where the economy is going. We want to know now, and we will soon have an update. Let's get back to the Federal Reserve and that upcoming decision on interest rates. These cuts, they've been a long time coming. Inflation first began to run rampant in mid-2021. That was during changing presidencies and the COVID-19 pandemic, which stalled the supply chain and threw other wrenches into the economic system. By early 2022, the Russian invasion of Ukraine became one more factor that created a perfect storm of inflation issues. Egg prices more than quadrupled, rent skyrocketed past most people's mortgage payments, fast food prices became just as much as some sit-down restaurants, and younger generations were priced out of the housing market due to low supply, high rates, and record prices. While inflation peaked almost 2 years ago, the recovery process has been much slower than most people would like. During the last 3 years, conditions have worsened, resulting in a third of recent college graduates being forced to move back in with their parents, according to a Pew Research study from 2023. And the Fed kept the rate hikes coming as they tried to pump the brakes on inflation. Now, after a record 11 straight interest rate hikes, inflation has been slowly falling, and the Federal Reserve seems ready to finally slash rates and offer relief to Americans. To share more on what's next, Bankrate's Greg McBride joined Odyssey.
On Friday, Fed Chair Jerome Powell signaled that interest rate cuts are coming imminent in the near future here. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning. All right, we heard that from Powell last Friday. What's the reaction been? What did you make of what he had to say?
Well, the market certainly reacted well, Brian. The market was up nicely Friday, within striking distance of the all-time high that was set back in July. It was widely expected that, he was going to strongly hint that a rate cut was coming in September. And I think even with that expectation, he was, even more blunt than I think most expected. So I think the question now becomes, okay, they're going to cut rates in September. Is it a quarter point? Is it half a point? How aggressive do they follow up with that in November and December? And those are all questions that are going to be answered depending on the economic data we see, not only in the coming weeks, but through the balance of the year.
Yeah, normally, interest rates either go up or down by a quarter point. But how likely could a half point cut be coming?
That's a possibility. I mean, markets right now put about a 1 in 3 chance on that happening. I think if there's one thing you want to circle on the calendar, it's the jobs report that comes out on September 6th. If that is uncharacteristically weak, that's really going to tip the scales in favor of that larger half point cut. If it kind of puts to rest some of those concerns after last month's jobs report, then it cements the idea that we'll just see a quarter point cut with that first one. But, the point I would stress is, regardless of whether it's a quarter or a half, this is just the first of what's going to be a series of rate cuts to the balance of this year through much or all of 2025. So, what we get here in 2024 is probably going to be the appetizer. We get the main dish next year as they will continue cutting interest rates. And that's when that cumulative effect begins to grow.
How do these job numbers play into this decision and the correction that we saw last week? And you mentioned it's the first in the series of rate cuts. I mean, are these all going to happen boom, 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 or more spread out over a year or so?
I would expect that they're going to be more spread out, but ultimately that depends depends on what we see with the economic data, and in particular the jobs. I think the one area where Powell was especially blunt on Friday was that he said, we don't want to see further weakening in the job market. So that's what they're up against now in terms of how fast and how rapidly they cut rates in the months ahead. If they're chasing a job market that's weakening, they're going to have to cut rates quickly, aggressively, and in repeated fashion. If, however, we see just kind of that continued slowing in the economy, moderating in the job market that we've been expecting to see, then that's going to suggest not only those quarter point cuts, but then they're not compelled to necessarily do so every time they meet. They can be more spread out and they can stair step their way down to a more neutral level of interest rates.
What is it about, interest rates quick to rise and quick impact, but when they come down, it's always a slower impact when you start to feel it?
Not always. I think in this instance, we saw that because the Fed was behind the curve on inflation. We saw the fastest inflation in 40 years. And so the Fed had to raise rates at the fastest pace in 40 years, in large part due to their own fault. They got a late start, and then they started out slow, so they had to play catch up. So we saw interest rates go up at the fastest pace in 40 years. And so now if we're at a point where the economy is normalizing, then the Fed can just gradually lift their foot off the brake, which means interest rates come down slowly. If, on the other hand, the economy is really slowing and the Fed is once again behind, then it's not just letting the foot off the brake. Then it's, cut interest rates rapidly, quick, press the gas pedal, and give some juice to the economy.
Inflation has remained tame throughout the summer, but the recent jobs report had many worried that a recession might be hitting. The report from last week showed the lowest monthly growth of private jobs since 2021, and that made some people concerned. However, there were also positives. For example, the unemployment rate leveled back out after rising slightly in July. It's sort of a glass half full, glass half empty situation. Depending on how you look at the economy, there are a lot of positives and just as many reasons to get a little bit worried. To break all this down, Michael Burnick, counsel at Duane Morris LLP, joined Odyssey.
So to start off, in your opinion, what are some of the main takeaways of the report?
Well, I think the main takeaway nationally is the cooling off of the job market, the slowing down of job growth. As you mentioned, the job numbers yesterday were 142,000 jobs, below the rates we've been seeing, monthly rates. Now, the unemployment did go down slightly from 4.3% to 4.2%. But generally, I think, again, it shows a slowing nationwide. We haven't fallen off the cliff, but certainly the labor market's cooled.
I mean, Michael, we've talked about it a few times, but to me, it seems like it's never ending when we talk about the loss in tech jobs. Just this past week, we heard more, and we're talking Intel. And I mean, it just seems like it's never ending. Is it? I mean, is this still kind of this leveling out that we talked about before?
It is never ending in the sense that this process of job creation and destruction in tech, as in other sectors, but particularly in tech, is ongoing. Even, Jennifer, in good times, we see it. But what's different now in 2024 is that there is expectations that the pace of job loss would slow down in tech, and that hasn't happened. As you mentioned, we continue to see a flow of layoffs, cutbacks among the tech firms.
It's funny, too, because I feel like I'm always hearing when I'm out and about, reporting on the streets down in the Silicon Valley, I'm always hearing about how, we're on the edge when we talk about this big AI boom, and that because of, AI, we're going to see actually not necessarily jobs lost, but jobs gained. And that really hasn't been the case either, right?
Well, you're right that here in the Bay Area, we're the epicenter of AI, new AI firms, but the number of jobs is very small. Most of these jobs are highly specialized software development jobs. And in terms of the job picture across the region, it'll be some years before the numbers of jobs within the AI firms come to be significant.
In the economy. economy, everything is connected. We like to picture it like the great and powerful Oz, pushing buttons behind the scenes, and every button pushed in forces another one out. So now we have to ask this question: how will pushing the button to lower rates affect the overheated housing market? Many are wondering if mortgage rates will return to somewhat normal after they hit remarkable lows around 3% during the pandemic and then skyrocketed to as high as 8% in some states. To share how this all will affect prospective home buyers and sellers, Money Tracker's Don Grant joined Odyssey.
Anyway, you know the scenario. We enjoyed historically low sub 4% mortgage rates until inflation took hold after the pandemic. To slow down the economy and quash higher prices, the Fed aggressively raised the prime lending rate. That helped investors who need interest income. But on the flip side of the balance sheet, it spiked the cost of borrowing, of course. Well, since the second half of 22 and early 23, mortgage rates fluctuated between 6 and 8%. For now, inflation's under control, and the Fed indicates that they'll bring rates down. When do experts expect lower rates to hit home buyers? Well, one factor in the Fed's decision to lower their overnight lending rates is employment. Jobless claims have increased. Couple that with lower inflation and rates should be cut. The CME FedWatch tool is an algorithm designed to predict future Fed moves. They show it's likely that the Fed will drop rates as much as a half a point in mid-September. Well, the Mortgage Bankers Association sees gradual periodic drops September through all of 2025. Mortgage rates are not directly tied to the Fed rate, but there is an indirect correlation between the two. Mortgage rates are partially affected by regional and national bank competition to write more loans. On a $250,000 loan, the monthly payment on a 7% mortgage is about $1,663. Drop that 1% to 6%, and the payment drops about $160 a month to $1,499. That same loan at 5% rate brings monthly payments down to $1,342. That doesn't seem like a big difference, but a small drop may stimulate buyers and sellers to get back into the housing market. It's positive news. Every dollar saved can open the market to more qualified buyers. If you find a home that's perfect for you, I would grab it in spite of current higher rates. There will always be the opportunity to refinance.
People want that lower interest rate, and they've been waiting for the Fed to drop it.
They have, and I always say it's akin to gas prices. You know, you hear about a hurricane blowing out some refinery someplace near Houston or something, and the day that happens, prices at the pump go up immediately. But when there is a glut of oil and there's so much being produced as there is right now in the United States, and prices go down for oil, it takes months for it to go down at the pump. So same thing with interest rates trickling down because banks are making too much money. So they're not making too much money, but they're making more. So they're reluctant to bring it down until competition forces them. So.
Our two presidential candidates are planning to take vastly different approaches to resolving the problems in today's economy. Interestingly, they both say that they essentially want to spend more on the middle class and to tax people less. Vice President Kamala Harris says she wants to offer tax credits to new small businesses, encourage home ownership with financial incentives, put an end to corporate price gouging, and offer an expanded tax credit to help parents pay for daycare. On the other hand, former President Donald Trump wants to eliminate taxes on Social Security. Now, while some Social Security benefits are not taxed, seniors making above certain thresholds do have to pay tax. Trump also wants to create a flat 15% corporate tax rate for manufacturers that produce their goods with American workers, and to stop taxing tips. Harris even jumped on the bandwagon with that last one and said she would do it too. Axios has described the candidates, both of them, as trying to make Election Day feel like Christmas morning. But as we've learned, every gift has a price tag. Just take these figures. Trump's cuts would add an estimated $5.8 trillion to the national debt. Harris's would add a little less, but they're still estimated to add a significant $1.2 trillion to the national debt. That's all according to a Penn Wharton budget model. However you feel about either candidate, it's worth noting that Axios also reported the government already spends more money servicing its national debt than it does on Medicaid. And that number is on track to surpass even defense spending. The last time the debt was this high as a percentage of the GDP, in the late 1980s and early 1990s, cutting it became a national fiscal priority for both parties. But back then, we had a different, more moderate political landscape. So what happens next in our current political climate? Stay tuned. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strauser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.